I'm really pleased to do this because I've been waiting to do this since last Sunday. I went to see a play. It just knocked me out, all right? And it was an incredible piece of work. And I'm sitting here with John Farmanish Baca.
Boca.
I almost had it. See, damn, I had it. And Brenda Strong. And John is the conceiver, director, and choreographer of the play. And Brenda is... She's Lysistrata, but she's an amazing actor, and I have to tell you, folks, this is a play you do not want to miss. So why don't we just jump up, and it's playing out at the Odyssey Theater, and I'll give you all that information, but I want to jump into the conversation right now. So which one of you would be best to give a capsule idea of what the play is?
I think John.
Well, that's very kind of you, David. You know, this is a, and by the way, Resisting Fascism is a wonderful jumping off point to talking about this play. This is a play that was written 412 years before Christ was born, and it is a sex farce originally. It was a very popular sex farce, and it had an intriguing subject matter, right, which is all the women would go on a sex strike until the men ended the war. But it was a farce, so what ended up happening is, unfortunately, immediately degraded into penis jokes. And that's how it's lived for many, many years. And then there's been thousands of adaptations from film to stage where they tried to express it in a subtly different way. But weirdly, what it always ended up being is incredibly misogynistic, because there was always this wink of, yeah, but not really. Like, this won't really work, you know, even if we pretend it'll work in art. So I was commissioned by the Getty Villa about 5 years ago to create a piece between myself and actress Olympia Dukakis. We wanted to do a project together, and the Getty Villa was very excited to have us do it. Olympia had pretty much covered the spectrum of great female Greek roles, but the one she'd never done was Lysistrata. And the only way I would do it, because my personal background with my theater company, Not Man Apart Physical Theater Ensemble, we are a very visceral theater company, lots of movement, which you probably saw on Sunday. But it's also very political. I can't direct a play, I can't work on a play unless it tries to move the needle somehow. Because I think all art, especially plays, are a political act. And therefore it has to have something to do with that. Definitely not soapboxy, it's just, this has got to mean something to me. So we said, okay, Lysistrata, it's a fascinating subject, but what if we look at it in a more real way? What if this was actually attempted in this early democracy, the first democracy, which looks nothing like our democracy right now, or does it? Because we're still grappling with the same issues 2,440 years later. We really are. And so Olympia introduced me to Eduardo Machado, who's a prolific Cuban-American playwright. And actually, who knew? But a Cuban was really keyed into Greek passion. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, actually. And we worked on this play together, and he penned a pretty amazing piece that we named Lysistrata Unbound, right? You know, it really tackles some interesting subjects, just like you were speaking about with Howard Bryant earlier. It's like, who gets to be a citizen? Who gets to speak? And if this happened, what kind of brutal reaction would be had by that culture? And we did a lot of work going through the Getty Villa with docents there and with the PhD doctors. And we found out a lot of really amazing things about Greek culture and the first democracy. And it's all in the play. So some of the more shocking things you saw in the play were actually based on real Greek culture and that first democracy, about what they were allowed and not allowed to do.
I never trusted that regime.
Oh gosh! Well, I'll tell you, it was the birthplace of our democracy, but it was just far, far from what we.
And look where that's got us.
Well, yeah, because we're still working on the same issues of equality, of who gets to speak and what do you get to speak about? Free speech, but you can't kneel. Free speech, but you can't question the current regime. Free speech, but, you know, there's limitations because the people in power don't want to be questioned. They don't want to be stymied in any way from their goals. Brenda can speak a little bit about the tour, because I took this cast, because 5 years ago we did a reading at the Getty Villa, and it was received really well. But I have an entirely new cast, and I asked the Dr. Shelby Brown over at the Getty to take us on a tour like we did 5 years ago, and Brenda went on that tour, mm-hmm. and she can speak to some of the more extraordinary parts of it.
All right, you're on the spot, Brenda.
Well, first of all, the Getty Villa is an incredibly beautiful environment with which to be immersed in ancient culture, especially Greek and Roman culture. So it was not only fascinating, but enriching to be there, and they were very generous with us. But as a cast, we wandered around and looked at a lot of the antiquities that have been collected. And, you know, in art, they would depict these scenes of women in lamentation and men in conversation, because what we came to find out is that women were not educated. They were primarily treated as the vessels for the war, for the sons that would go to war. And Greece was very based in a war culture. In fact, many of the playwrights were soldiers. In fact, all of them, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their plays were about war. And so the women were pretty much depicted as in service to that. And they weren't considered citizens. They were very much kind of to be seen and not heard from. So Lysistrata, with her very strong voice, had nothing left to lose, because she had lost her husband, her father, her brother, and eventually we kind of conceived this idea of what if she lost her only son, and that becomes the catalyst for her to finally speak out. But a lot of the art was, you know, male on male sexuality, and it was very confusing for most of us, but we learned that that was part of the initiate of the young, you know, prepubescent boy, is the brutality of being prepared for war. And so I think John's done an exceptional job of making this an artistic and representational kind of expose of that cultural norm.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, too, because your character really goes through a transition, and in a way where, you know, in the beginning, I mean, you know, it's really heavy, and you know, having, you know, writing is, it brings that out, but when you're acting it, it's also something where you see this person who is completely broken in a certain sense. She's completely broken, but there's a spark mm-hmm. of some kind of resistance. You won't mm-hmm. do this to me. You won't remove mm-hmm. my humanity. Mm-hmm. And it grows through the thing, and I thought that was so important that went on. I'd like to talk to you just about that kind of, because that's different than what people might expect. Well, if you know anything about the Lysistrata thing, it becomes, yes, there are women withholding sex, and it's funny, and it's whatever. But this was actually something that was much, much bigger than that, and much stronger than that, in a sense.
You know, I think this play was based on the idea initially of what happens to someone who's considered ordinary and mundane or not exceptional, and they're faced with extraordinary circumstances of loss. And it's kind of this idea, it was based originally on Cindy Sheehan, who was the original kind of mother activist when she lost her son in the Iraq War, and she stationed herself outside of President Bush's ranch and objected to the war. And I think it's that spark that you speak of, Michael, that's so interesting, because we all have it, but it's like, what pushes us to wake up? What pushes us to ask the right questions? What pushes us to say no more? I think it's the seed of the Me Too movement. I think it's the seed of the Time's Up movement. It's the seed of speaking out against what we have allowed power in this country and culture and globally to do to not only women, but to the planet. It's the call to no. The word no is really important. And I think, you know, I think finding that inner no is something personal for all of us. But Lysistrata's inner no is, no, I'm not going to allow life itself to be trodden upon without standing up against it and say life is more important than gold, life is more important than money, than ego, than winning. You know, this idea of winning is nothing. And she points it out so beautifully. And I think it just, you know, hopefully when people leave the theater, they walk away thinking and asking more questions and how it relates to their current life than just going, oh, well, that was fun.
They definitely do. Unfortunately, I went to see it by myself.
Oh.
And so I was searching out for people who think, what did you think? But it is. And actually the point that you're saying, I mean, I think it's really incredible because, and it's also true that, look, your character, that character, you know, she was different in a whole way. I mean, she actually transcended a lot. And when she did, she brought other people with her, mm-hmm. you know, which was mm-hmm. really very, very important.
Yeah, the ordinary to the radically inspirational is a story that I think all of us can aspire to, relate to, are interested in, you know, and I think that's why Cindy Sheehan ended up being such a touchstone for Eduardo and I as we were conceiving this, because she was, like Lysistrata in this play, demonstrably part of the institution, right? The institution being the government. She had a son in the war. She was patriotic. She mm-hmm. she was one of the many nameless, faceless, you know, military moms and wives who did their part, and we never hear from them, right? And then she broke when her son was killed in action. She became a national figure. Mm-hmm. And that transcending is what we wanted to express in the play, you know? And a lot of the relationships, like Brenda was bringing up, a lot of the intimate relationships in the First Democracy were between landowners who were citizens, who were the only people considered citizens, and those were the people they had their conversations with. Mm-hmm. So that in a weird way, they didn't have as much intimacy with their wives, but rather with the men that they could share their thoughts with, because it was inappropriate to share your true thoughts with your wife. Mm-hmm. And so we feel like we've come a long way, but as we did this play, we found out that these are the same exact struggles we are going through today. And it's been an extraordinary journey for us, especially since this play was written in about 2.5 weeks' time.
Okay, we'll have to talk again. We've just ran out of time. Anyway, I want to tell people, actually, basically, one of you guys, it's at the Odyssey Theater. What's the address of the Odyssey Theater? Do you know?
Off the top of my head.
Oh, here it is. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Okay. It's the Odyssey Theater, which is,
On Sepulveda.
On Sepulveda, right? Yeah. I have it here. Okay, so I'm going to find this before. And I know somebody will kill me for doing this, but I'm
no, it's okay. It's 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. Yeah. Go to the Odyssey Theater Ensemble website. They've been around for 50 years. They make amazing plays, and this is an important one to catch.
OdysseyTheater.com.
Definitely. All right. And also, I want to let people know that the screening of BA Speaks Revolution Nothing Less, I mean, that's the wrong time. It's actually on Sunday, June 17th, not Saturday. It's at the Revolution Club Organizing Center. It's 2716 South Vermont Avenue on the second floor. All right, folks, I want to thank you very much for the play, for what you've done, for what you continue to do, and keep doing it, all right?
Thanks for having us, Michael.
And we'll talk to you again soon. You're listening to the Michael